the increase of wickedness. Matthew 24, 11 through 13 says this. Jesus says, "Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Let me read that again. And because evil will flourish, the love of many people will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Now, this is Jesus giving an end time indicator of what the atmosphere of society would look like before the rapture, or after the rapture, or the second coming of Christ. Basically, as the arrival of the Antichrist comes, this is what the atmosphere of society would be like. And we see today in the world, lawlessness, meaning evil, is abounding greatly in society. Now, not just in America, but all over the world. You know, we're going to touch on a lot of topics tonight that are quite interesting, but they have a biblical touch on them. But there are so many things happening in the world. You know, you could talk about the Muslims are now having dreams of Jesus now greater than ever recorded in recorded history. The fires in Canada that are just sweeping down towards the East Coast and affecting millions and millions and millions of people. That is something we're going to talk about. That is not just some coincidence. That is a biblical event. We're going to talk about that. Lilith, the ancient false god Lilith is on display in New York City as this smoke was coming in. We're going to talk about that, you know, about missing children, the sex slave trade, which is bigger than you could possibly imagine, sadly. There's a lot of things that are going on, but we know that God is in control. We know that those who hold to the faith in Jesus Christ, They know that they will endure to the very end. That's what Scripture says. He who endures to the end shall be saved, meaning you must remain in the faith of Jesus Christ. You must remain. And the point of this message tonight, the point of this teaching tonight, of this discussion tonight, is to encourage the believer that though you see all these things happening, keep your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. And do what the Lord has called and anointed you to do as an end time Christian. Yeah, we're Christians, but we are end time. And we are facing things, I believe, as a Christian today, we are facing, I believe, more distractions than the church has ever had in its 2,000 year history. We have more distractions today. We have more confusion today. We have more, you name it, today, because the Bible does say that Satan has been cast down to the earth, and woe to the earth, for he knows that his time is short. And he has declared war on the saints, those who hold to the testimony of Jesus Christ. And so Satan is very angry, and so he is in full gear. He is in full gear to steal your faith. But nothing can separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
But we do need to discuss these things. Opening comments, brothers.
Well, you talk about that the love of many have grown cold. I really feel that there's a lot of people that are sitting back and waiting for something to jump off. And once it jumps off, they get involved. So you have all these little things that happen, and then next thing you know, it's a riot. Then the next thing you know, there's a fire. The next thing you know, all these people are out on the streets. I think that there's something built up into these people that they're just waiting for something, and so that they can let that anger out and that whatever's inside of them out. And you see that from time to time. And then it just goes away, and then it's not spoken of again. And then another one pops up sometime later, and those same people are ready to do it again. And that's a love that's grown cold, because what it's done is just sitting inside, and it's burning, waiting to come out.
Yeah.
And I think that's the majority of society. But then again, when you're going to, and you come across a Christian, and you see the love that's in them, and you talk to them, and it's a discerning spirit to see that.
Yeah.
Most people would look at that as, oh, they're crazy Christians, because usually when you find somebody that's in love with the Lord, they're really in love with the Lord, and they're showing it to And it's not that they're crazy. It's just that they don't look like the world.
Yeah.
And most people would look at that as being crazy.
Yeah.
And I ran into somebody this week, and I'm going to tell you a story real quick. I was working on my weed eater. I had a bad weed eater, and that's a bad thing in my job, to have a weed eater that doesn't work. So it's slowing me down, right? So I go inside, and I'm working on it, working on it. And this guy comes up, and he starts talking to me, just small talk. And next thing you know, I started talking to him about Jesus. And he stops, gets out of the car, comes out, thought he's going to shake my hand. He comes and gives me a hug. And he's like, oh, I knew I had to stop here and talk to you about something. I knew the Lord told me to come talk to you. And I gave him a card to come to the church and mm-hmm. everything, and I talked to him. But then talking to my wife, Kimberly says, well, you see how the Lord works? You would have never spoke to him if your weed eater was working good. You wouldn't have had the time to do it. You would have been ahead of the job. So God's timing was perfect. But running into that man, and I thought he was going to shake my hand, but no, he had the love of the Lord in him. He came, give me a hug, and I didn't know him, and you know, it was just exciting to see the passion, you know, and the fire for God. So,
amen
to that.
Amen. You know, these are exciting times that we're living in for the Christian, but for the non-believer, these are some scary times. Mm. You know, and I was reading a scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Says this, take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness, but instead expose them. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think technically this is what we're doing right now. We're, you know, under the power of the Holy Spirit, we're exposing what's going on in this nation around the world,
mm-hmm.
exposing the evil. And we know that the devil is working like never before, overtime, to distract the Christian, to distract us from doing what we're supposed to do, and that is preaching the word and winning souls. Mm. And so I just look, everything is happening so rapidly.
Yeah.
I mean, just you see news article after news article just going and just getting worse and worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
But for the Christian, that should get us excited. But it should lead us into the prayer room to pray for these things, but it should get us excited because Jesus is coming back very soon.
Amen.
And so I believe that Jesus is, and the Holy Spirit is giving us opportunities to tell people of what's to come, to prepare people of what's to come, to warn people of what's to come, because that is our job as a Christian, you know, to do it with love.
Yes.
But to do it boldly.
Amen.
So I believe that tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, today is June 9th, correct? June 9th. And it is Gay Pride Month, as always in America, in June. And so now this is where we're going to just head right into this. America celebrates June as Gay Pride. And we know that in years throughout... growing up as a kid, I remember that if you were living the homosexual life, or then you know, that was really, people were so much in the closet, they didn't really want that to be public. And now that is a totally different story. Now we see so much of businesses supporting these people who come out of this life, or coming out into this lifestyle, with the transgenderism and all of this sexual immorality. But you know, here's the thing I need to say from the very beginning. Whether you're living a life as a homosexual, or whether you're a straight heterosexual person, but you're living still sexual immoral, you're sleeping, you're a man who is sleeping with multiple women, or you're a woman who is sleeping with multiple men, regardless if you're heterosexual, homosexual, if you're living in sexual morality, then that is a problem, because the Bible says, God says, the written word of God says that no person lives a sexually immoral life will enter the kingdom of God. And so people today get very, very angry in America when you speak against this movement that has gaining momentum every day over the past several years. And now it's so incredible where, I mean, people who drink Bud Light, they're angry because a transgender person had a commercial about Bud Light, and now everyone is shooting their Bud Light cans and not drinking Bud Light. And I'm like, well, good, because they need to get filled with the Holy Spirit, not with alcohol. Amen.
Amen.
But, you know, what the devil does for evil, God can turn around for his glory. But here's what I will say. What is the root cause of just living in sin? Whether it's being sexually immoral, a liar, a drunkard, a thief, it's pride. It's pride. And I want to really quickly read some scriptures that will take us into this. Again, if you are a Christian, and if you stand on the written word of God in the public forum, you're going to be, for right now in America, persecuted with being called a bigot, a homophobic, things like that. And Jesus said, they persecuted him, they will persecute you. Now, we as Christians, we are called to love all people to the cross of Jesus. All people, regardless of what sin they're involved in. We should love all people, and we should treat every single person with kindness, with respect.
Amen.
But at the same time, we should not be entertained by their sinful lifestyle.
That's right.
And there is a way to tell somebody the truth that they're not right with God. And you can still speak truth and still come across in a condescending way, which is not right. You must speak the truth with humility, with compassion, with the Spirit of Christ. But we must not, as Christians worldwide, we must not give in to this movement that is sweeping everything. Everything. We must say, this is wrong. God loves you. This is wrong. Look, Proverbs 8:13 says this. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Proverbs 16:18 says this. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Why am I saying pride? Because this month is Gay Pride Month. They are proud of being what God says is wrong. They are proud of this. This transgender movement, this LGBTQ movement, I mean, all of this. They are prideful of this. They're very arrogant. They're very cocky. They are throwing their lifestyle in your face. You know what I'm saying? And so this is rooted from pride. And the devil knows this, and it's very right out there, Gay Pride Month. But I'm reading you scriptures that deal with pride. Again, Psalm 10:4 says this, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. When you are a prideful person, you do not seek God. You don't want to have anything to do with God. When you are prideful, you can be a drunkard, you're prideful. You can be a liar, you're prideful. You can be sexually immoral, you're prideful. Why? Because you are proud of the things that you are doing, and you yourself are your own God. James 4:6-8 says this, but God gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you must first humble yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. It takes humility to follow Jesus. And look what this. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Next scripture. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Isaiah 14:12-15 says this, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. Now count with me, for you said it in your heart, number one, I will ascend into heaven. Number two, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Number three, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. Number four, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Number five, I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. This is the writer giving reference to the fall of Lucifer. It began with pride. I, I. And this is what sinners celebrate, pride in their disobedience to the word of God. And finally, Romans 1, 26 through 32. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, you see, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. A debased mind means a reprobate mind, meaning you're to a point of almost no return. Your conscience has been burned as with a hot iron. It's been seared. You take a white cloth, pour some a red wine ketchup on it, and then iron it in there. That stain will never come off. This is what the scripture is talking about. Today, people have such a seared mind of disobedience towards the word of God. Okay, let's keep reading. Verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, and here you go, proud. Boasters, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Who they know the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. But not only do they do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So you see today, this move of this gay pride movement, this sexual immoral movement, they are encouraging others to do the same. They're going into the schoolhouses and teaching children, kindergartners, first graders, how to be like them, immoral towards God. Look at that last verse 32, please. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. They promote their sinful lifestyle. This is written about so long ago, and yet we see this happening before our very eyes.
Yes. You know, it's a if you hear their argument or anything about them living the lifestyle they live, a lot of them will say, "Well, I was born this way." Well, that could be true, because some people were born murderers, some people were born thieves, some people, we're all born into sin. But you need Jesus Christ to be born again. So no matter how you believe you were born, you need to be born again.
You were born as a sinner.
You were born as a sinner. So for them to say that they were born this way, yes, you were born into sin. So if you're having these thoughts, those are sinful thoughts. If you're having these actions, those are sinful actions. Mm-hmm. You need to be born again. You know, for years, we probably grew up with people that lived a double lifestyle and we didn't know it, maybe in the 70s or something like that. It could have been a woman dressed up as a man and came into the restroom, and we wouldn't even have known it, because they wouldn't have flaunted it, and they just would have used the restroom, walked out, and didn't even know any better. But nowadays, they want you to bring your child in there, have everybody see everybody, and I need my own bathroom, and I want to go. It's just pushed down our throats to the point to where they don't care what our beliefs are or what we have going on in the church. Our beliefs should be set aside, because their beliefs mean more to the world than ours do, is how they feel. Now, the problem with that is when they push it on children, as you said. When you're trying to get the next generation to just defile the whole generation, that's when I think it steps over a boundary for people that aren't even Christians that are being upset about this. Because what you're doing is you're going after children that they don't need to know anything about sexual anything at that age. And yet you're promoting something that pushes that upon them. Now, that's wrong in so many different ways. Whether you're a Christian or not, you should have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I mean, and I believe that the world has a problem with this. It's not just, you're not just seeing Christians uprising whenever all these different stores are pushing it down your throat. And that these are non-Christians that are upset about this too, because it's their children that they're doing this to.
Yeah.
So I think that it's crossing a line. It's not even about a Christian, non-Christian. It's about you're pushing your beliefs on everybody, whether you're a Christian or not. And I think it's sinful, and I think you need to be born again.
You know, the difference between the true Christian that preaches the gospel, preaches it with love, compassion, and the unbeliever is that if you don't like the way I'm living, or you know, because it's all around us, but if you don't like the way I'm living, then you know, they automatically hate you because yes. you don't like it. But if somebody came to me and I'm telling them about Jesus, and if they don't want to accept it, hey, that's fine. That's I'm not going to hate you. You know, it breaks my heart that the way you're living, mm-hmm. but I'm still going to love you,
right.
no matter what. They hate the sin, but love the sinner.
Right.
You know, and I have family members that are in that lifestyle. I've known people that are in that lifestyle. And it breaks my heart that if they were to die today, you know, they would spend eternity in hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but all we can do is speak the truth, mm-hmm. pray. You know, here's another scripture that I have in First Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. It says this, "Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last time some will turn away from their true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciousness are dead. They will say it is wrong to be married and wrong to eat certain foods, but God created those foods to be eaten with thanks by faithful people who know the truth. Since everything God created is good, we should not reject any of it, but receive it with thanks, for we know it is made acceptable by the word of God in prayer." You know, God created man and woman, husband and wife, and marriage is good in yep. the sight of God.
Mm-hmm.
But the world is twisting it
mm-hmm.
and say, hey, it's okay to be married man to man and woman to woman. And if we don't accept it, then that's hate speech.
And not only that, but when you read that scripture and it talks about they will forbid you to eat certain foods,
yeah.
what they're talking about is about religion. Because in context of that, deep into that, what that scripture is saying, Paul is talking about back in his day, their belief, their religious practices were tied into what they ate and
right.
drank.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? And mm-hmm. Paul says the kingdom of God is not about what we eat or drink.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But in ancient times, that was what religion was about. What you look at Buddhism, you know, they take the plate of food to Buddha, you know, and they offered these things, that they were sacrifices. And so what Paul is revealing in this scripture in the end time is that he's talking about how they will forbid religion, period. Because it's setting up what we're going through right now is all religions, with the exception of Christianity, all religions, all faiths in the world are eventually going to point to the Antichrist as God.
Mm-hmm.
That is what we see happening right now.
Right.
Okay? And so that is an attack on faith. Mm-hmm. Satan is going to unite all faiths, with the exception of Christianity, to give a knee to the final Antichrist. You know, the Romans were deep into sexual morality. The Romans, the Spartan warriors, I did some research on this. The Spartan warriors believed that the most masculine thing you could do is, as a grown man, a warrior, is you had sex with a young boy, 7, 8, 9 years old. And that was the ultimate thing to do. And they would do that because they believed they created such a brotherhood, a closeness, a bond that would be unbreakable. That's just perversion. We know that. And you know what is so, that is what destroyed the Romans. Such unspeakable sexual immorality. Nero, the Emperor Nero, was having sex with his sister, and they said with his mother. That tied back to even Nimrod in the book of Genesis. Nimrod, the first ruler over Babylon, was doing the exact same thing, sexual relations with his mother, with his sisters. It was demonic, it's evil. And so we see that same sexual immorality that's flooding society worldwide today. Again, I'm not just talking about, oh, are you a homosexual? Or no, sexual immorality, period. Whether you are heterosexual or homosexual, it's perversion when you are, and it's when it's anything outside of marriage. And it's so dangerous because more Christian men and women are under attack from the spirit of sexual morality than ever before. And there are more marriages that are being destroyed within the church today than ever before. And I say to Christian couples that if you're not talking to Jesus, you're not talking to your spouse, and you're going to be in big trouble. Jesus is the other person in the marriage. He has to be the foundation. He has to be the anchor. He has to be the truth. And so when you take Jesus out, it all goes the way Satan would want it to go. And so that brings me to what I would like to read to you. Acts 2:17-21. I'm going to set this up. We're going to open this up. I want to talk to you about the fires in Canada, all that smoke going down to the East Coast. I want to talk to you about Muslims are having dreams. Now, it's being reported by missionaries in Middle Eastern countries that Muslims are having dreams about Jesus now more than ever before. I've had several articles I've come across on that. And I want to talk about Lilith now being on display in New York City. All of these are tied into one scripture. In Acts 2:17-21, Peter is given the first sermon of the church, the day he's been filled with the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 2:17-21, Peter says this, "And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." They shall preach. "And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Again, there are fires up in Canada. I've seen satellite images of this. I mean, incredible amount of smoke flooding the East Coast, New York City. Millions and millions and millions of people are being affected by this. And they're saying it's dangerous. And so I do believe that this is a biblical event because, again, in verse 19, it said there will be signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. That could mean war. That could mean all kinds of things. But when you see an event affecting millions and millions of people, you have to pay attention to this stuff. Just like the tsunami that happened many years ago, and one day over 250,000 people died when the tsunami hit down in Sri Lanka in India, and that tsunami spread throughout the world almost. And over 250,000 people died that day. That is a biblical event. Jesus said, "Do not hinder these little ones from coming to me, because if you do, even the rocks will cry out. The foundations of the earth will cry out." And so there have been earthquakes, and the earth is crying out for the redemption of the souls of men. You find that in the book of Acts. And so Muslims are having dreams. It's been reported that missionaries are speaking to Muslims and they're giving their testimonies about them having dreams of Jesus. They're having family members who are Christians, but they're denying Jesus Christ. These Muslims are, but they'll go to bed and they have dreams of Jesus. They see a shepherd, and in one of the dreams, the shepherd came and broke bread and said, "Here, eat. This is my body." This Muslim has never read the Bible, and this Muslim woke up from the dream and said this to a Christian, and a Christian showed him in the Bible, "This is what your dream means." Jesus showed him where Jesus did that, right? "Eat, this is my body," you know? And so that Muslim became a Christian. Another Muslim was working out in the field, and they saw in the pool of water, in the reflection, they saw behind them a shepherd. And they looked, there was nothing. They looked back, they saw the shepherd. They had a dream about the same shepherd. They took this dream when they woke up to a Christian, and a Christian showed them the shepherd and the Bible. These people are coming to Jesus. But look at Acts 17:17-21, again, it says, you shall see visions, you shall have dreams, men and women. They're having it. Why? Because God knows his time is short. And my last one before I give this to you guys is Lilith is on display. The demon Lilith on full display on billboard in Times Square with apocalyptic skies looming over New York. It says the brand new installment from a video game series called Diablo features a demon that in Jewish mythology and folklore, Lilith was known to prey upon helpless newborn babies, and it seduced unsuspecting men using their wasted seed to spawn hordes of demon babies. This is again, Jewish mythology. This was what they believed would happen in ancient times with this false god Lilith. And but according to the NYP, a video game billboard in Times Square, New York has gone viral after pollution from the raging Canadian fires have bathed the Big Apple in orange. And now you see this big display being promoted, the new Diablo game, and it features this demon on full display. And people are hitting Twitter saying, this is not coincidence. This is just really crazy, the timing of all of this. And so you can look at these things and you could just say, well, this is just coincidence. But this isn't the first time New York City displayed demons and idol gods. Back in 2015, the Hindu goddess Kali was also displayed on the iconic Empire State Building. Kali is known as the goddess of time, doomsday, and destruction, and it seems New York is laying the welcome mat for destruction, and sadly, most will laugh it off as nothing but harmless fun.
You know, I look at it as, you talk about these things being prophetic, and that this goes back to biblical times and or biblical readings. But I think that we're living as the apostles lived in a time in the Bible when it was being written about. I believe that we're living in a time right now of the Bible that we're not even recognizing. Most people aren't recognizing that the lives that we're living today are biblical truth. This is what's going on. You look at some of the fulfillments of prophecy. You look at the Euphrates River drying up. That's prophecy being fulfilled right before our eyes. I don't see how people can look at that and say that, oh, that's just a coincidence, or that's not anything that has to do with the Bible.
And sadly, young Christians today are listening to scientific methods, evidence, and saying, well, this it's happening because of this.
Yes.
When they should read the Bible.
Right. And it could be happening because of that, but the Bible doesn't say how it's going to happen. It just says it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Yeah. So you look at it the way it is. You read prophecy for how it is, and I think that, you know, the only prophecy that has to be filled before the rapture is none.
No.
Is none. There is none. The rapture could come at any time because all prophecy's been fulfilled that needs to be fulfilled for that to take place. Mm-hmm. Now, there is the Antichrist needs to be revealed in that certain time, and we don't know when that's going to happen, but after that, I mean, it's time for it to happen. That's prophecy. Yeah. If you're reading it, but the Bible also says, let him who have an eye see, and let him who have an ear hear. If we can see it and we can hear it, then we know that we're following the Spirit. But if the world's out there saying, no, that's just a coincidence, then they're not following the Spirit. They're not using the Spirit to guide them. So I know that we're living in prophetic times right now. We're living in the Bible. We're living in a time not when Jesus came, not when Abraham was. We're living in the time when Jesus is going to come back. Jesus is going to come and get us. That's the time we're living in. And that's wonderful.
And I believe that the Spirit of God is speaking in this nation. Mm-hmm. But there's also that the devil is speaking as well.
Mm-hmm.
And who are we going to listen to? You know, there's such a demonic force in this nation like never before. You go from California all the way to Maine, from Minnesota all the way to Texas. It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And the devil is working so much overtime because he knows that his time is short. And people are wondering, well, what's going on over here in the East Coast? What's going on the West Coast? What's going on in the South? You know, and it's just mind-boggling because people are so scared. But if you read the Bible, it tells you what is coming. The vapor of smoke, all the smoke that's going around the East Coast, all this stuff is in the Bible. Mm-hmm. If you just open up and read it, but not just read it, but apply it. Ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom, discernment.
Yes. Yes.
Because if you just read this Bible and say, okay, I just read it, it's not going to do nothing to you. But if you read it under the power of the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom on what these scriptures mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's going to show you. And people will wonder, well, man, what does that mean? What all this that's going on in this nation, what does it mean? If you get in Amen. Touch with the Word, if you get in touch with the Holy Spirit and let Him move inside you, He will show you.
Amen. And that brings me to my next point. You know, Christians today, they do not read the Bible. Mm-hmm. They don't. Majority of Christians today do not study the Word of God. And Pastor Jason sent me this a little while ago, earlier before we went online. You can find this on Amazon. It's called The Holy Spirit Board by Holy Spirit Games. And it's set up as a Ouija board, and it says communicate directly with Jesus Christ. And let me read you some of the reviews here that say verified purchase. This is for real. This is not fake. One person said, let me see, go right here. Direct line to Jesus. They said, I got this as a last resort because I was in dire need to speak to Jesus, and He seemed to be avoiding all my prayers. After setting it up, at 1 minute and 16 seconds, I made contact. It's been a while now, and I feel that we are connecting so well. I asked Him to move in with me yesterday, and now He seems to be avoiding me again. Did I come on too strong? Did He find someone else? Am I too clingy? But I do recommend this game. Praise the Lord, somebody said. Thanks, sweet Jesus, for sending me this board. Because of this board, I know the Lord wants me to have riches and wealth beyond imagination. Now, you can just say, well, you know, these are people writing fake reviews. These are people, it's comical. And there could be, some of these reviews could be comical. They're just being silly. But this game is selling.
It's real.
It's selling, and not only that, yes, it is real.
Mm-hmm.
When people don't want to, you don't need a board to talk to Jesus.
Amen.
You don't need a board to talk to Jesus.
Go to prayer.
You know, You get on your knees and the Lord is there closer than you could ever possibly imagine. Look, here's what I'm going to say right now. A great revelation of evil is coming.
Man.
From all the sexual morality that's going on, look, to Jeffrey Epstein, who was involved with very elite people in pedophilia, to the sexual slave trade that has been going on. How many children are missing today? What was the number?
2,300 per day
in the United States. This is an actual number. 2,300 children go missing today in America.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of these children are put into the sex slave trade. The cartels are not in Mexico, they're here. And they're taking these children and shipping them out to all other parts of the world. And I'm telling you, I will tell you this, and you can either believe this or not, but I'm gonna tell you this, because history has proven this, and we will see it happen again. The elites of every society in history, their downfall ultimately was because they indulged in not only sexual morality, but in pedophilia. And we see that happening in the world today once again. I saw a documentary with about Jared Fogel, the spokesman for Subway for 16 years. It's sickening. It's sickening. Here is a man who was fooled the entire world. He traveled the world, had access to millions of kids going into the schools. And in this documentary, they have actual recordings of him, not knowing he was being recorded, speaking with an individual, saying that throughout his years with Subway, he was able to gain access to children. He was able to go into third world countries and have sex with 7-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, and do catastrophic damage to them, mind, body, and soul. Now, again, I'm not, you think that we're just, oh, gay pride, we're talking about the gays. No, I'm talking about sexual immorality, period. Jesus said, just as it was in the days of Noah, and just as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And what were they doing? In the days of Noah, they were involved in sexual morality. Mm-hmm. It was horrible. Read your Bible. In the days of Lot, the two angels found Lot surrounded by homosexual men, so bad that the men knocked on Lot's door, wanted to have sex with the two angels, not realizing they were angels. And God had to deliver them. We are going to be a society that is going to be saturated in sexual morality, sexual perversion. And let me tell you this, people, you know, many of you may struggle with pornography. Many of you may struggle with these things, but you have to surrender this to the Lord and ask for forgiveness, and you have to cast this off in the name of Jesus Christ.
You know, what's going on in the world, I think that, as we were talking earlier, I had told you two men that if everybody knew the amount of evil that's going on in the world, oh, it would drive them crazy. They wouldn't be able to handle it. And the only way you're going to be able to handle something like that is to have Jesus, because you have to fall back on prayer. You have to fall back on prayer for these children. You have to fall back on knowing that he's there with these children through whatever they're going through. He's going to protect them. And in the end, in the outcome, in the final, evil is going to get what they deserve. Yeah. Evil is going to get it. Yeah. And we just have to understand that if this is some things that we're uncovering, just us looking it up, just some of the things that we're looking up, you know, the Bible says that it'd be better for you to tie a millstone around your neck than to hurt one of the children that are out there. So they're already setting the standard for what's going to happen to some of these people that are doing these evil things. And I think it's way more involved and way more people involved than what we can even imagine, and the levels of the height. I want to tell you right now that if there's 2,300 children missing every day in the United States, and we have an Amber Alert on our phone, my phone should be blowing up. My phone should be going off every 10 seconds. And I'll get one every once in a while.
Yeah.
But even with that, we get one, and what do? Oh, it's Amber Alert, and we just flip it off.
Instead Most of looking, the times you're in a restaurant and it goes off.
Yeah.
And you just
embarrassed and you just hit it.
Yeah.
And you know what they do? They don't, you better catch the name or better catch something, because you can't go back to it. I can't find a way to go back to it. I've tried to. So I look for the names, I see what's going on, and I pray for the children that's there. And I even pray for the captors that have them. You know what I mean? I pray for everything involved in that situation. But that only comes every so often. If this was, if a man came in running for president and said, I am going to put a stop to child slavery, he'd have my vote today. But it's not even spoken, even through the presidents of the United States.
And it is plaguing the world.
It's plaguing the world.
You know, before I give it to you, Pastor Rick, let me read this last scripture, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. Okay, in context of this chapter, Paul is talking about the coming of the Antichrist and the outcome of the Antichrist. The church in Thessalonica, they thought that they had missed the second coming of Jesus,
right,
because people were telling them this. And Paul opens up in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you know, he's saying, hey guys, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, don't be worried about it. Basically he's saying, when it happens, you're going to know it. You know what he's saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to know it. You did not miss anything. But in verse 7, he says here, look, he says, for the mystery, now please pay attention, watch this. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, I believe that means the Holy Spirit, only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. I believe the only thing on the face of the earth that can hold the full hand of evil back, a lot of people say, well, the church. I believe it's the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because the Bible says, not by might, not by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord. There will come a time when the Holy Spirit will be removed from the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. I believe that when that happens, the rapture will happen. Because Jesus said, I will never leave you as orphans. I will send you the Holy Spirit. He will be with you to the very end. Now, what this is saying in verse 7 is, there is evil at work, like you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And it is demonic and mind-blowing. And it is eventually going to be revealed. I mean, you can say conspiracy theories, Jeffrey Epstein, he you know, somebody killed him and all this. Look, the fact is, this man was involved with some of the most elite people in the world, flying to his island and having sex with underage girls. And only God knows what else was going on there. But my point is that evil is at work in a greater way than you could possibly imagine. And I believe that the driving force behind the return of Jesus Christ is this sin of sexual immorality, sexual perversion, sexual delusion. And we must be on guard, because that is the ultimate greatest arrow that Satan can shoot at you and destroy you.
You know, be careful, because the LBGQ, whatever, it's going to have a P on the end of it eventually for pedophilia.
Yeah.
Because they're going to want their rights too. And it's coming.
And just like in the 60s, it was a great movement within the medical field. I read about this. This is a fact. Psychiatrists in the 60s were beginning to make a move to label homosexuality
A mental illness?
Yes. That they were trying to basically bring it to the forefront where it is to be accepted. Mm-hmm. And eventually you see it's accepted. The same psychiatrists in those fields are now at work right now moving to eventually bring to the front of people's lives in the court system that pedophilia should be legal because of this medical condition. Mm-hmm. They're eventually going to legalize people that have sexual likeness to underage kids. And it's going to become legal. And it's going to become accepted because it's going to have a medical attachment to it. You think, no. The society is crumbling faster than we can possibly imagine.
It's very sickening. You know, I have kids, you know, I have one fixing to be 6 years old. And, you know, you said this on Wednesday, and I brought it up last Friday. In North Korea, there was a 2-year-old toddler in North Korea that has been jailed for life after their parents were found with the Bible. And so this 2-year-old toddler, along with their parents, being sentenced to prison camps in North Korea because they're found with the Bible. Yeah. You know, God knows what happens over there in these prison camps with these toddlers, what they do with them. But it's just the amount of evil that is going on in this world. It breaks my heart, because I have a little boy, I have a teenager, and God, it brings you to tears, because we see our little ones here. And what happened? What would happen if something like this would happen, mm-hmm, to one of them? This should break our hearts.
We have much work to do as church elders, all of us Christians, because we are handing down. What are we handing down to the next generation of Christians? Mm-hmm. If the Lord should tarry another 40, 50 years, What are you handing down to the next generation? It's so important, Christian, those online, that you are a part of a church that is involved in blessing the next generation of Christians that Amen. Are coming up.
Amen.
If you're not, then you need to pray and ask the Lord to lead you and guide you. Because there are some dead churches out there. They're doing nothing. They're just plain church. And that, Jesus paid way too high a price to just play church. Mm-hmm. You know, my wife told me that sin, the word sin, S-I-N, you know, I is in the middle. I. It's pride. Mm-hmm. And pride is the driving force of sin. Mm-hmm. And so, I is in the middle, S-I-N, I, like Lucifer said, I. And so, gentlemen, I believe we're going to speak more about this next Friday if the Lord allows us to. But there is so much happening in the world. And again, people can say, well, you know, everything in the news, you can tie that to the Bible and you're just being fanatics about this. No, God loves us. He's trying to show that there are signs.
I am a fanatic for Jesus.
That's right.
Yes, I am. Yeah. And I'll tie everything back to Jesus because everything goes back
to
him.
That's right.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Well, brothers, thank you.